if it's 6 o'clock, this must be Meet the Press, I think, or no, I'm sorry. 6 o'clock, I'd like to call to order the Planning Commission meeting for the City of Aurora Grande for Tuesday, July 17th. We have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
Commissioner George?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
And Commissioner Shira?
Here.
All present.
Please stand and follow in the Pledge of Allegiance. First item on our agenda tonight is community comments and suggestions. And this public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on this agenda tonight. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. And the Brown Act restricts the Commission from taking any formal action on matters not published on the agenda. And finally, the Commission does request that public comment be limited to 3 minutes and be accompanied by a voluntary submittal or speaker slip to facilitate our organization and preparation of the minutes. Is there anyone in the public here tonight that would like to step up and speak on an item not on the agenda tonight? Seeing none, we will close the community comment period. Request, are there any written communications that the Planning Commission or staff has received on our behalf?
None this evening.
That we have not seen already. Very good. Thank you. We have two items on the consent agenda. I'm happy to entertain a motion for approval on both items unless there is a fellow commissioner who would wish to separate these two items and handle them separately.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve both items 7A and 7B on the consent agenda. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
And Commissioner Martin?
Yes. Consent agenda items have been approved. We're going to move on now. We have a single public hearing item. It's a consideration of Development Code Amendment Case 18-002, amendments to Chapter 16.62 of Title 16, and repealing Chapter 5.95 of Title 5 of the Aurora Grande Municipal Code relating to cannabis delivery services. Applicant is the City of Aurora Grande. Mr. Downing, can we have a staff report, please?
Certainly. Thank you, Chair Martin, members of the Commission. Good evening. We're here tonight following the direction of the City Council to repeal the city's permit requirements relating to cannabis delivery services. So looking at the background of this issue, in January 2016, the City Council adopted Ordinance 675, which prohibited cannabis activities in the city. In June of that same year, the City Council adopted Ordinance 678, which allowed indoor cultivation of medical cannabis as well as permitted medical cannabis delivery services. In November 2016, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act was approved by the voters, which authorized personal use and cultivation of cannabis for recreational purposes. In October of 2017, the City Council adopted Ordinance 687, which limited cannabis delivery and permitting to specific permitting requirements and things like that. And then in June of this same year, the Council directed staff to remove any city permit requirements for deliveries and instead defer to state permit requirements. So in your packet, I provided both Title 5 and the Title 6, 16, the specific sections relating to cannabis activities and delivering. So I wanted to highlight the text amendments that are in front of you this evening in order to implement the direction that the Council gave us. So on this first section, subsection A of Chapter 16, 62060, what we're adding is into the city of Rio Grande, so except for section 1662070 related to deliveries into the city of Rio Grande, what we're attempting to do there is clarify the deliveries are coming from outside the city limits into the city. One of the reasons for that is there was a discussion at the council relating to a specific operation that had mistakenly established a physical location in the city limits. That caused an issue with the current ordinance, which prohibits establishment of commercial cannabis activity within the city. So this is an attempt to clarify that we're these delivery services are delivering into the city. So all commercial cannabis activity, including but not limited to medical cannabis collectives, cooperatives, and dispensaries, including mobile dispensaries, cultivation, manufacture, distribution, processing, storing, laboratory, testing, packaging, labeling, transportation, or sale of cannabis and cannabis products, and location of premises for any retail or non-storefront retail cannabis businesses are not permitted in or upon any premise in the city of Rio Grande. The reason for that laundry list of all these different uses is when the ordinance was first put in place by the council, it was really we were trying to cover all bases because we didn't know what the state requirements were going to be. So it was one of those get your regulations in and then modify when as time goes by. And so the specific identification of a lot of these different cannabis uses is important to call out as they are called out in state regulations, in the different regulations that each one of these activities takes in order to get a permit for that specific activity. And then looking at that specific, so we referenced 16.62.070 in this previous slide. This is the change that is being made, proposed to be made to implement the council direction. So it shall be unlawful for any person to deliver cannabis or cannabis products or engage in activities that constitute delivery of cannabis or cannabis products anywhere within the boundaries of the city of Rio Grande. And this is the change that we're striking out and adding in. So we're proposing to add in except for cannabis retail businesses with physical premises located outside of the city of Rio Grande that are licensed by the State Bureau of Cannabis Control. So essentially what we're saying is if you have a license, if you are a retail business with a physical premise located outside of the city and you're permitted by the Bureau of Cannabis Control, you can deliver into the city. And then we're removing unless the cannabis delivery service and each delivery driver is licensed in accordance with the provisions of Chapter 5.95 of this code. Again, all of that, Chapter 5.95 goes through the permitting requirements for the delivery services and the delivery drivers. All of that, the rules the city put in place are covered by the state's rules now. So essentially we are duplicating work that the state's already doing for these cannabis delivery services and retail businesses. And then the remainder of the section relating to the Business and Professions Code is remaining unchanged. So really what we're doing is eliminating the reference to Chapter 5.95 and then clearly identifying that cannabis retail businesses that are permitted by the state can deliver in the city. And then, of course, I don't have a slide for it, but we're repealing Chapter 5.95 in its entirety. And then, of course, because this is an ever-evolving issue, I put up a slide that is just kind of a summary of the prepared remark that I'm about to make. So I was contacted by the city attorney in preparation of tonight's meeting to let us know that on Friday, July 13th, 2018, California's three state cannabis licensing authorities, which are the Bureau of Cannabis Control, Department of Food and Agriculture, and Department of Public Health, announced the publication of proposed regulations in the California Regulatory Notice Register, which is the first step toward adopting non-emergency regulations. So up to this point, the state's been operating under emergency regulations for cannabis after the AUMA was was approved by the voters. The publication is the start of the formal rulemaking process and marks the opening of the 45-day public comment period. The current emergency regulations will remain in effect until the non-emergency rulemaking process is complete. So everything that we are doing now in order to address the duplicative process the city has with the state's process will remain in effect until these regulations go into effect, which are largely remaining unchanged. But while much of the proposed regulations simply clarify the existing laws contained in the emergency regulations, there is a significant modification to the rules regarding delivery. Under the emergency regulations, city had local control over deliveries into their city. Under the new proposed regulations, delivery employees will be able to deliver to any jurisdiction within the state. The city's proposed ordinance complies with the proposed regulations, in that it allows cannabis businesses with physical premises located outside of the city of Rio Grande that are licensed by the State Bureau of Cannabis Control to deliver into the city. However, it is unknown at this time if this loss of local control will be challenged and or remain a component in the final regulations once they are adopted. So really what that's saying is they're attempting to put into place the emergency ordinance, making that official. But this one little piece where it said local jurisdictions are allowed to prohibit cannabis activities completely or make their own local rules with regard to delivery services, the state is at this time proposing to do away with that local control. So if these regulations, let's say the proposed ordinance were not to move forward and these proposed regulations were to go into effect, our local permitting requirements would be null and void anyway. Now, I bring that up just to clarify that these are proposed regulations. So as we all can, we can comment during this 45-day period regarding the local loss of local control. We haven't felt or gotten feelers yet on whether that specific issue is going to be called out by any of the local city groups like League of California Cities, for example. But we did want to highlight that it's still changing. But right now, our proposed ordinance, should the proposed regulations by the state go into effect, our proposed ordinance would be consistent with those regulations. So wanted to highlight that for you. In terms of environmental review for the proposed ordinance, staff determined that it's exempt for Section 15061B3, which is the general rule that CEQA only applies to projects that have the potential for causing significant effect on the environment. Public hearing notice was published in the Tribune and posted at City Hall and on the city's website, and the agenda was posted in accordance with the government code, and we've received no comments on the proposed ordinance. When the council was considering the policy direction, there was significant comment that evening lasting more than 4 hours, and that's how we ended up here in front of the Planning Commission this evening. So we're looking at the ordinance in terms of implementing the council's direction. So at this time, it's recommended that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution recommending that the City Council adopt an ordinance amending portions of Title 16 and repealing Chapter 5.95 of the Municipal Code regarding cannabis delivery services. I realize that's a lot of text on slides. I apologize, but I'm here to answer any questions the Commission has.
Very good. Thank you very much. Are there questions for staff at this point in time concerning this resolution?
I just have a curiosity. How is our police department going to know who is delivering cannabis if we don't have any application or policy? I mean it's
great question. So that was discussed by the council that evening, and we've talked about it following that direction internally of how that works, because we have the same, well, how do we know? Essentially, it's no different than any other suspicious activity reports that the police department gets. So if somebody sees a vehicle that is consistently making stops, you can actually call police dispatch and have an officer go out. They'll address the delivery driver, request to see the state permit, and if they can produce the state permit, assuming they're permitted, they're free and clear to continue business. If they do not have a state permit, then they get cited like any other violation.
So where we had only three delivery companies, or what are we going to call them, now it's as many as they choose if they're licensed.
As many, yeah, essentially, and they have to have a retail storefront outside of our city limits in order to be able to deliver. There's and other little, I shouldn't say other little nuances, but yes, so it could be that there's more delivery operators within the city following this removal. The discussion by the council centered a lot on the medicinal value of cannabis and making all medication opportunities available to residents within the city by removing that limitation of three and just going with the state permit.
So do those brick and mortar buildings have to be in San Luis County, or it doesn't matter where they are?
According to the state regulations, it doesn't matter where they are. It defers to, we would retain the ability, as I understand it, to continue to prohibit their brick and mortar location in our city. Obviously, our neighboring jurisdiction, Grover Beach, is allowing specific types of dispensaries and brick and mortar stores, and those are constantly changing. But for instance, if they were to repeal all of that and say no more, and the existing businesses went out of business, then they'd have to go find a separate place to establish a physical location.
If this cannabis is actually considered a medical marijuana, whatever, how come the and it's been approved by the whatever medical association it is, how come the drug stores like Rite Aid or CVS or whatever, why aren't they, I mean, are they, it's not in that same realm of medication?
And that's an interesting question that I don't directly have an answer for. It is interesting in researching the regulations and actually visiting our neighboring jurisdiction and looking at the one that they have established. That was one of the comments that they made, is this is more regulated and controlled than a lot of prescription medications, other prescription medications that are oftentimes seen to be more detrimental. Opioids, for instance, those are just behind a locked cabinet in a pharmacy, whereas this is a fortified building. So it's an ever-evolving topic. I wouldn't be surprised if something changed in the future, but right now the rules are what they are.
That's all I got.
I'd like to piggyback on that, you know, just quickly about the delivery and licensing of delivery. I'm assuming UPS drivers and other drivers that are, you know, private delivery organizations, are they not currently required to obtain a city business license to make delivery? So, I mean, obviously we recognize a UPS truck when they're driving through town, but I'm assuming they don't have a city business license.
It's a good question. I don't know about specifically UPS drivers and things like that. I don't believe they are required to have a business license in the city that they're delivering into. And I do not recall off the top of my head if the state rules require a local business license for the delivery service that they're delivering into. I want to say that they do require that, because we do currently have to issue, with our permitting requirements in Chapter 5.95, we were also requiring a city business license. And I do believe that we've discussed as staff, following council direction, that even though we're getting rid of this permitting requirement, you still have to obtain a business license, similar to a contractor doing work in the city and things like that. So, but I would have to clarify that further.
I mean, I understand in a incorporated city like Grover Beach, you know, if they're doing a storefront of some kind, that they're obtaining a business license in Grover Beach in order to operate. And whether they have a delivery driver out of that business or not is a separate issue. But I was just kind of curious. I'm using UPS as an example of a private company that is providing delivery services. And, you know, a cannabis provider may or may not be able to contract with a private delivery company, and so that driver may not even be employed by the cannabis business as long as they're licensed by the state to provide deliveries. Now, depending on how that, you know, I don't know all that the nuances of those rules and regulations are, but I was just trying to see if there's some consistency between private company A providing delivery services in the community and private company B being cannabis delivery, and how they're both kind of handled in from a licensing standpoint within the city.
Yeah, so it's interesting that you bring up the contracting of a private entity to do the deliveries. So I did pull the latest emergency regulations regarding delivery to a physical address. So a retailer may only deliver cannabis goods to a physical address in California. A retailer delivery employee, so that means that the delivery employee has to actually be employed by the retailer itself, shall not leave the state of California while possessing cannabis goods. A retailer shall not deliver cannabis goods to an address located on publicly owned land or any address on land or in a building leased by a public agency. So this prohibition applies to land held in trust by the United States for a tribe or an individual tribal member unless the delivery is authorized by and consistent with applicable tribal law. So in that instance, they wouldn't be able to contract out to a separate delivery organization. They would have to employ that delivery driver.
Very good. Well, thanks for that clarification. Are there other questions for staff on this?
I got a few comments or a few questions.
Go for it.
So first, the state comes along and says to all the cities that hurry up and, you know, create some ordinances individually for your city, or the state's going to come in and create those for us. And we did that. Now the state's coming along, and we're having to change our ordinance to marry up with what they want. I mean, that's a comment. So the question here, obviously, is why can't we control
that local control piece?
Have more local control, and it's going to dovetail with my next questions.
Yeah, so, and that's the interesting thing with this latest, as of Friday, literally, you know, as of Friday. Before, the cities were still able to determine locally if we wanted to have a permit system in place, or if we wanted to just ban deliveries throughout the city. There's a specific law that says you have to allow cannabis to be driven on your public roadways. Doesn't mean that has to be delivered. So while we could have said no deliveries whatsoever, the council is the one prior to Friday who said, let's go ahead and remove our local duplicative permitting requirement since the state has all of the same rules. They're better equipped to do it. They have more manpower, more funding, et cetera. Let's go ahead and have them do it. And then if they get permitted by the state, they're permitted by the state. So then this is the interesting piece as of Friday, where that local control piece, again, if we were not to change this local permit requirement, could potentially go away anyway. So it's interesting. It's still playing out. Like I said, that loss of local control, I have a feeling people will challenge that, but you know, we haven't seen those challenges start cropping up yet.
So we're now not requiring any permits whatsoever for distribution within our city limits.
Delivery, we are still requiring permits for deliveries in the city limits because that our permitting process has not been repealed as of yet.
Okay. So my next question is regarding taxes. Obviously, the sale is going to be occurring within the city limits if it's being delivered. It's not something like Amazon, you purchase it, you have a credit card, and it's delivered through the mail in a mail system. It's actually exchanged for product with money within our city limits. How do we recoup taxes or anything like that?
Yeah, another great question, and I admit that the tax piece of that I get confused on, and to the best of my recollection, depending on where the point of sale is, so some of the established retailers, you can go online and place your order online for delivery, and then it's no different than Amazon, where they are supposed to collect local tax of wherever you live. But then there's also Supreme Court cases saying, you know, is that a requirement or not? So there's a little gray area there that I'm not entirely certain of. Definitely, if in the future the city council were to allow for a brick-and-mortar establishment in the city, that would change things. So we do get some sales tax, my understanding is, some sales tax locally. But is it the appropriate amount? Because it's just the general tax, in which case, I forget, the city manager has a really good sales tax piece for every dollar of sales tax that's we get.
Well, there should be a percentage of sales tax that goes straight to the city of Rio Grande. If they're going to be using our roads to, you know, go deliver on our police department enforce and oversight.
And so we do see some of that. What you'll see particularly in other local communities is they're adding additional cannabis sales tax to recoup more. But that was discussed by the council, not the night that the direction was given to repeal the permit requirements, but a subsequent meeting where they discussed whether or not to put on the ballot a sales tax measure and or an advisory. Do we want this type of business in the city? It was determined by the council at that time that it was not, given their goals, it would have the time it would have taken for city staff to draft language to get the non-biased analysis and do all of that outreach was too much to take on at this moment in time, given the new budget and the implications of the new budget. So they decided for the November 2018 ballot not to move forward with it at this time.
Would we lose any rights in the future to be able to collect taxes in the future?
No, that doesn't preclude us in the future from seeking some kind of tax measure on this item.
And then, so we're not permitting actual drivers in the city, correct?
The actual drivers currently are a part of the delivery permit system. Under our current rules, the operation that gets a permit, their delivery employees are also part of that permit.
Okay. Because I guess my question is have we already have organizations that had applied for permits and paid for permits? Are those going to be refunded? Or
We had one permit applied for and approved. We had another permit applied for and withdrawn. And beyond that, that's about all I know.
And the last question was, you showed us that one picture. Oh, there it's right. It's up on the board right now. How does the public comment on this? Is there a website or something that you can direct the public to so they can comment?
Certainly. So my recommendation would be to search on the Internet the Bureau of Cannabis Control. On their front page, they have a great new proposed rule, permanent rules, or something titled like that, where it has all the information and has the 45-day notification, and you can click into that and learn more about that whole process.
So it's all on the web?
It's all on the web.
As opposed to a link that's on our city webpage or something like that?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, at this time.
Thank you.
That website was super easy to find, by the way. Was able to access it tonight. So I guess I have a couple questions that are it's a little counterintuitive to me as to why we're here tonight. The first is the state has emergency regulations in place, and they're now proposing actual regulations, but those haven't been approved yet. So Is it putting the cart before the horse for us to go through and change our local ordinances when the final regulations haven't even been approved yet?
Not necessarily. So in this instance, because this came out so late, we were already heading down this policy path of removing our local permit requirements. Again, many of the regulations that are being proposed to be made permanent are exactly the same. It's just that local control piece of permitted state permitted being able to deliver into any city, regardless of what the city's local rules are. So we have made the determination separate and apart from whatever the state is doing to remove our local permit requirement.
But removing our local permit requirements is based on what we know of the current emergency regulations. And what we're saying is we can remove ours because we believe that the state has regulations in place that are better than ours, that are stronger than ours. So ours aren't necessarily needed anymore. Is that my understanding?
They're the same as ours. We require everything exactly the same.
Right.
And so even the proposed regulations, again, being the same are not, we don't anticipate that changing. If that does change, then I'm sure we can bring it back to the council and say this piece changed. We request direction on this policy now that.
Right. So I guess, does it harm us in any way to keep our policy the way it is until the state policy is in place so we know for sure, as opposed to, it's a lot of staff time to go back and forth all the time. So if we propose this now and we recommend to city council goes and approves it, we find out that the new regulations come in and we're unhappy with it, then staff has to start all over and bring stuff back.
Yeah,
so I guess I'm not understanding why we're making a decision before the state regulations are actually in place.
I do see what you're saying. So a couple of different things are at play there. Number one being the policy direction that the council gave to remove that requirement. So we're looking at how we are implementing what they told us to do. The other piece is that we heard that night at the council meeting, because the city does not allow physical locations in the city, and there's only a few other operations in specifically in our area, and the world of this is so complex that there are fewer delivery agencies that have the ability to be located physically outside the city, obtain a permit in the city, and be able to provide patients their medication within the city. And so that's what the council was hearing that evening, saying there's such restrictions on the availability of these medications that the council made the determination to let's remove our local obstacles and our local processes to allowing patients to receive their medication. Also, you mentioned the staff time. So, yes, by all means, it does take time. It takes time to write the staff reports and ordinances and things like that. The amount of time it has taken police department personnel to go through all of the permits and do all of that work is greater than the time it takes for us to come back and make these minor modifications. I would say it's beneficial moving forward, removing that local permit process, even if we in the future need to go back and revise it.
So I'm just trying to be super clear. We had one agency, I know the name, I'm not going to say it. They got approved. Turned out they had a warehouse here and came a big debacle. I get that. So what you're saying is the police department is spending a lot of time and resources going through a bunch of other permits, and none of these other permits are good enough to get permitted. Is that my understanding?
Not necessarily good enough to get permitted. There are a couple of different. One thing, one application, I believe there was some miscommunication on if they got a local permit, if they were still required to get a state permit, and the timing of that. But it does, and we've consulted with Grover Beach as well because they're so heavily involved in this. And granted, they're different. They have actual storefronts. It's just the amount of time it takes to do all of that permit paperwork is incredibly great.
So when it said it's a retail business with a physical premises. So could that be a retail business that just has a warehouse, or does it actually have to have a storefront?
So there's two. There's definitely two types that are the main point. So one is the actual retail storefront where you go in and purchase product. The other is what's called a non-retail storefront, which is kind of, that's the warehouse type thing where they're essentially operating a commercial cannabis operation without the person purchasing the cannabis going in and purchasing it on site. They're just not open to the public, essentially. So those are, there's other little, there's a micro business in there, which I don't know the full piece of what that exactly is, but the retail storefront and the non-retail storefront are the two biggest brick-and-mortar type establishments.
Okay.
If I can piggyback on that, because that relates to my second question, because you have mentioned physical location and retail location, and is the state law requiring that it's a retail location be established in order to provide deliveries? Or, you know, is there a difference between a physical location and a retail location?
No, so they're requiring a physical location of either the retail operation or the non-retail storefront.
So a warehouse operation that doesn't have a retail component to it, in reality, could be doing 100% of their sales through the delivery mechanism rather than a portion through a retail storefront and a portion through delivery.
That's correct.
Very good. Thank you.
And then lastly, Matt, I tried to go and look at the regulations that are proposed, and I couldn't find it. We had talked about the distance limitations. Were you able to find?
Yes, so I did talk to Director McClish about that. So the map that you were referencing, mm-hmm. when we were talking about the rules previously, there was a map displayed of the 600-foot boundary limitation from schools and things like that. Mm-hmm. That was the restriction on the physical locations,
okay,
not the delivery. So that's why I went ahead and pulled the delivery to a physical address where it can't be delivered to any government property, essentially, which would include schools because they're part of the government system. So you could see a delivery adjacent to a school, but not to the school itself.
Right. Okay. Those were my questions. Thank you.
I have one other. So you're saying that they do have to have a city business license to deliver it?
I believe so, but I'm not 100% positive on that.
Well, you know, I just think that if it isn't, if they aren't, then it's really not very fair to our other commercial businesses. What about the, I don't know the name of the delivery service, that you can call and get your food delivered from whatever restaurant you choose or pick. So now they're having to pay for a business license, and basically all they're doing is delivering, picking up and delivering, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah, and I would have to make sure that we're clear on that prior to going to council. But I don't have a clear 100% certain answer on that.
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Shire, do you have a question or two?
I do. So the state right now is proposing, to, as far as delivery goes, to limit local control. But everything else, they're going to keep under. We're still going to be able to say no brick and mortar. No, is that right?
Correct.
They're okay. Could you explain the difference between an M10 and an M9 license, and how Grover Beach? If I had to listen to the 5 hours and 40 minutes of that city council meeting, a lot of it in fast forward, and I realized that wasn't 3 hours wasn't going to be enough to do my homework today. But it was my understanding, and I may have hit the 15-second skip forward too many times, that Grover Beach was only going to let the Type 10 licenses deliver, and they weren't going to let Type 9 or M9 licenses, which is the reason why certain businesses that were trying to get licensed couldn't just go to Grover, which is kind of what everybody, you know, saying, why don't you just go to Grover? They, you know, and I don't know what the reasoning was behind that, but is that the case? Do you understand it?
I understand you. I do not know anything about the M10 versus M9 license.
Okay.
Because right. we just flat out prohibit commercial cannabis activity in the city.
Okay. So the gist that I got from it, well, let me ask you this. Can deliveries take place right now? today. Somebody called a state delivered, a state licensed business, and I don't know, you know, people were flashing, you know, talking about, oh, this, you go to this website, they'll deliver, they delivered to me yesterday. Do you know, yay or nay, or?
You can get anything, really. the serious answer to that is, yes, there are operations out there that that are delivering. They're delivering with all the proper permits by the state and whatever local agency permits are required. We do not have any local permitted in the city.
So if somebody's getting a delivery right now, it has to be illegal.
Correct.
Technically, right now.
Into the city limits of Aurora County, yes.
So one of the things that kind of just watching this whole thing unfold that got me was it, and totally could be my, you know, obviously you don't have all the facts, you're not behind the scenes, you're not, and, you know, first of all, I want to say if it's true that you guys were thrown under the bus, it's not right. You shouldn't throw staff under the bus, so I'll just start there. But one of the things that seemed for me as a business owner trying to put myself in their shoes was like, okay, they tried to follow the law, tried to follow it, jump through all the hoops. And as it seems like right now, even though they shouldn't have, maybe they strong-armed at some point, because of that, now it seems like they're not going to be able to get a state license. Is that probably the case?
I would be hesitant to comment on a particular operation, but I think your question kind of highlights the fact that this has been an evolving process in the implementation of the AUMA since, you know, November 2016 has been an interesting game of let's see how this plays out. And even the question of do you have to have a physical location in the jurisdiction that you are delivering into was asked. And on the one hand, you can kind of see where, okay, that makes some sense because otherwise you're transporting across jurisdictions, et cetera, et cetera. But then at the same time, like in our instance where we have three cities right next to each other, that means one organization would have to have a physical location in each of those jurisdictions to deliver into that jurisdiction, which doesn't make sense. So as the rules have come out and we've seen how they actually work, it's been made clearer and to the point now where we're comfortable removing our local permit requirements.
Okay. I guess final comment, the thing that kind of gets me, if I'm in that business, which I'm not, and by the way, if you want to look at some of the people that were some of the testimonies of the people that medical marijuana has helped, there were many of them were at that city council meeting. It was quite moving. One of the things that just really kind of gets me is that let's just say we decide for our town it's best right now that we don't have a physical address here. Okay, state saying you have to have a physical address someplace. Gover Beach decides. Same thing. What's going to prevent every town around here from saying you can't have a physical address here, but you can deliver in here? Well, then how where are they going to go?
Great question. And that's not, you know, that's one of those things that you go, well, that would never happen. But absolutely, it's a great example. It could happen where that turn, you know, where that type of situation occurs. My belief is that would become one of the things where the state then steps in, similar to your affordable housing requirements, where the state comes in and says, look, everybody's taking advantage of this one piece.
Right.
That wasn't the intent of what the voters passed.
Right.
Everybody loses that ability or some ability thereof, which is kind of going back to Commissioner Mack's comment of they're taking that local control piece from us. As of right now, the proposed permanent regulations, yes, they are for deliveries. They are removing that ability for jurisdictions to locally say no. I honestly don't know what the justification behind that is. It might be that doing a survey of all the cities and counties in the state that they noticed a large number of jurisdictions saying no deliveries into our city. in which case they went, okay, well, that's contrary to what the voters passed, so therefore we need to step in to make that a rule. But great question.
And I guess the thing that listened to Councilwoman Ray's comments at the end, you know, saying, hey, maybe, you know, we need to know what our town wants, and the idea of having something on the ballot to say, hey, do you want, you know, are you for medical marijuana? Are you for brick and mortar? Are you for taxation? Are you for, you know, a tax piece? It's just one of those issues where, you know, everybody kind of wants to speak for, you know, what they think and what they feel. But as far as what our town knows, what our world really wants, it seems to me like it's probably time to do that in some form to say, hey, what do you really want? Because it's a you look at our budget situation and you think if we're making a misstep here, and all of a sudden we don't end up getting it becomes a windfall tax for four cities, and we don't take part of it, we're going to be upset that we didn't do that at some point when it's been passed, when the will of the people's been, you know, from an elective standpoint. I think people have, from a state standpoint, have spoken, and now we'll see what happens. So,
yeah, and turning, you know, your finding the question in your statement. It's been, I think, like Commissioner Mack asked, it doesn't preclude us from going out and doing it in 2020, or doing a special election, which I don't believe anybody wants to pay for at this time. But it doesn't preclude the city council from directing us to do that in the future. There's just, for this November election, there are too many competing interests and not enough time and staff resources to enter into that.
Totally get it.
And, you know, as we've seen with the kind of evolving regulations from the state, well, how are they going to do this? And getting the clarifications, like, well, does that mean you have to have a storefront in every jurisdiction that you deliver into? Finding these things out, I think a lot of communities kind of took the conservative approach, and I don't mean that in a political conservative way, just a let's wait and see how this plays out, whereas some communities, even locally, went, nope, we're going to embrace it right from the get-go, we're just going to go for it. And there are some middle of the road, so it could continue to change, and it you know, if you have personal, to anybody at home who's listening, if you have personal opinions on the matter, absolutely feel free to voice those to your council members. You know, short of going out and doing an election, that's how they know that they're acting on behalf of the community.
Right. And that's all I have.
I have one more question. You know, if they're not paying taxes here, if you have a business, you either have to pay it on wholesale or retail. So are they paying taxes, sales taxes, where they're purchasing that? Or are they charging their client that they're delivering to? Are they charging them to? Are they just getting no tax deal at all?
Yeah, so going back to Commissioner Mack asking that question as well, I'm by no means a tax expert on particularly this subject, but I do believe we receive some of the, you know, again, being sales tax, the city sees only a slim portion of that 8.25% or whatever the tax is now. And that's why some jurisdictions are saying specifically for this luxury item, we are increasing that tax to 5%, 10% on top of the regular sales tax. So
there is sales tax being forwarded to the city of Arroyo Grande from that 8.25%.
Only if it takes place in if we had a storefront or if we had a licensed. My impression was from the meeting that I just watched was that because we're not allowing the address to be here, wherever that address is, it's just like ordering to go food at a restaurant. You delivered it in San Jose. You know, where you called your order into is where that's the city that's going to get that
revenue,
right?
Well, that's what I was asking. Yeah. And I think she had mentioned at one of the hearings that they were from Fresno. So
that was my thing. Are they paying taxes in Fresno, and then the stuff is being delivered here, and yet we're it's our well, expenses are on our you know additional police.
Well, they're not now because they're not functioning.
So. Yeah, and again, I'll with the disclaimer that I'm not the tax expert on cannabis. But again, that's the you know that's kind of the grander policy discussion on if I'm not correct and we don't receive anything from the sales tax in any way, shape, or form, then that's the bigger policy piece that the council needs to weigh in on. You know what we're doing tonight is looking at the local permit. So even if we had a local permit, it still wouldn't mean that we get sales tax.
I just feel like they're making a profit at our expense.
It's our choice, though, because we're not allowing the storefront, so we have to go with the laws that we
One other question. When this first started, if we had just said, no, we don't want any of this in Arroyo Grande, would we still be subject to what's going on with the state now?
Good question. So if we came out and said, no way, nothing at all, with the proposed regulations that came out on Friday, we then would not be able to say no to deliveries if the proposed regulations
go. But we wouldn't have had to draft all these requirements and spend all that time because they would have been under the state requirements. Anyway, that's what we're having to go under now.
Correct.
So we wouldn't have been any worse off than we are right now if we'd have said no. Wouldn't have made a difference one way or the other.
Matt, I think my memory is when they came before us, there was a threat in the air out there that the state was saying that if you didn't draft anything, that you were then going to be subject to the state and you would get no tax revenue. And the tax revenue was correct. We're not now, but they were saying that's one of the reasons why there was a local rules drafted.
Correct, but my understanding of Commissioner Valerie Payne's question was if we had drafted the rules, just say no.
No.
Would then we be subject to the state's rules? And currently, the current state rules, no. But the proposed state rules, if they do keep that local delivery piece out, then yes. Just that piece, though.
But so all of this has been at our expense, going through all these steps. Yeah.
And again, it's one of those, you know, as we heard the night that the proposed regulations came here, and we heard from patients who were in support of particularly the medical cannabis, it was the same, as Commissioner Shira pointed out, the evening at the council hearing, there were a lot of people who were voicing that, I need this medication, and if you don't allow this type of thing to occur, I will have less access to that medication. So it's, I see your point, and but there was more, I think, to the decision than
But it wasn't for naught, because we had a period of time where we had a delivery service our area, so it wasn't for naught. I'm going to beat a dead horse. I'm so sorry about this. So the police department right now is currently putting resources into reviewing these permits, correct?
I do not know if there is currently a permit under review.
Okay.
But when they do review permit
they're pretty strenuous.
It's intensive.
Do we know how many permits roughly we've had since we allowed delivery services to come through?
I believe it was two.
Just two. That's the entirety of it. So it wasn't even that our processes were so strict that people just weren't choosing to apply because they were able to do their business elsewhere. So what we're doing is we're removing that extra level of work for the delivery companies to make it easier for them to come in.
And
is that my understanding?
Yes, and increasing access for patients to get medical cannabis.
Right.
And even with the removing the permit requirement even for recreational deliveries, yes.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so before we segue into comments and the like, I
questions of staff at this point. There is someone from the public tonight. I'm not sure whether they or she is interested in speaking, but given that this is a public hearing item, I am going to open to the public an opportunity for the public to speak on this item. And if you are just here to listen, very good. Well, welcome, and you're welcome to sit there and be attentive and listen as we go on. Being that there is no one else here from the public that wishes to speak, I'm going to close the public comment period at this point, return it to the commission, and encourage final comments before I seek a motion on this particular item. So is there any commissioner that would like to make any final comments on this before we take a vote? Commissioner Shiro?
I think I've said all I need to say.
Very good. Yeah. Commissioner Mack?
Just turning on my mic. I think we should be looking at this, more in the future, if not at our level, definitely at city council level, in terms of the tax issue, because there's going to be a certain amount of this product rolling through our city and our jurisdiction that we have no clue to the quantity, how much. There's nothing, unless it goes through a storefront, like takeout food or something like that, where it's actually, you know how many pizzas were sold or how many, things were sold. There's nothing being taxed here that is going towards our city coffers, and I think that's a real, a real boost to our city economy if we can make that happen. But I don't see an effort here of that happening. I'm seeing that we're just marching along here and approving things to be in line with the state requirement. I just hope you're not missing the boat by not getting something on the ballot and aggressively pursuing where the storefronts are to ensure that the money that's been exchanged, being exchanged within our city jurisdiction, that it's not tax-free. And that's my comment.
Thank you. Commissioner George?
Yeah, my only comment is I definitely don't want to hinder delivery to those who need it. I'm just concerned whether it's necessary to make any changes right now or to wait until, the final regulations get approved. But I guess if that's going to take a long time, then those who need delivery services now won't get them. So it's just a tough position to be in. Those are my only comments.
Well, my only concern is, and with like Matt said, there just wasn't adequate time to get this on the ballot for November. So maybe watching it for the next 2 years to the next election and see how things go. There may not be that many people doing the delivery here, and we may not need that brick-and-mortar building. For those people, it's no effort for them to go down to the big facility there in Grover Beach and get it. So Grover gets tax revenue off of it, and there's not much we can do about that. But at least we don't have that brick-and-mortar building in our community. Here we pay such homage to being this hometown community. Do we want to walk out the door and see that kind of a building or facility operating here? So, I think maybe evaluating in the next 2 years or next year, and that at least gives us that time to find out what the final draft is going to be by the state, and that way we can regroup and figure out what we want to do and have adequate time to put it on our agenda or put it on the voters. Because at that point, whatever the vote says, in 2020, we can still activate the same as if it was on this year in 18, which it, obviously we don't have the time to get it there, but maybe just watching, seeing what goes on in the next year. So, I realize, and I did too listen to all that,
that went on. Glad I wasn't sitting out there, but I did listen to it. And, you know, from the beginning, I thought, oh, gosh, we have, you know, this is our community. Do we really want this? I know it goes on. People said, well, it's going to go on anyway, so we might as well get tax revenue off of it. But we're not getting tax revenue off of it. And, you know, I think that was one of the comments that I heard back then. And I'm kind of disappointed that it didn't follow through that way. So that's my only concern and my comment.
Very good. Thank you. I just have a couple of quick comments. Fundamentally, you know, I see this as a service industry that's in significant flux. And like my fellow commissioners here tonight, I fully expect that we're going to be seeing changes and alterations and amendments and tweaks to, you know, even the state law and the rules and regulations as they come through. But to that end, I see this as an effort to make permitting and compliance a more efficient process for those delivery companies. And in that regard, I think this is a good step, and as such, I support the resolution today. With that being said, I'll make the motion. I move to approve the resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Aurora Grande recommending City Council adopt ordinance amending Chapter 16.62 of Title 16 and repealing Chapter 5.95 of Title 5 of the Aurora Grande Municipal Code relating to cannabis delivery services, Development Code Amendment Case Number 18-002. And I'm happy to seek a second.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. And I'll ask for final comments, hoping that we've already made them. And are there any other final comments that need to be made before we take a vote? Seeing no such encouragement or desire, I can call for a roll call vote at this time, please.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
And Commissioner George?
Yes.
Okay, the resolution passes 5-0. Thank you very much. With that behind us, there are no non-public hearing items on our agenda tonight. There are two administrative decisions that were listed. I'm wondering if there are any questions of staff on those two administrative decisions by anybody here on the commission.
No. I did have to look it up to see what it was, though.
When is the St. Patrick's Barbecue? That's one of our administrative decisions. It'd be nice for everyone to know.
Certainly. So the 56th Annual St. Patrick's School Barbecue Auction and Taste and See is on Saturday and Sunday, September 22nd and 23rd, 2018.
Thank you.
Very good. And then are there any other comments or correspondence that have been received by the commissioners that they would like to share at this time? Commissioner George, or...
I didn't receive anything, but I just walked down the pathway right here, and I just wanted to commend the artists and the city for a job well done. I know it's not quite complete, but the artwork that, all the flowers and the fence that are just right in here in this little alley, it was nice to walk down and see it.
Very good. Commissioner Fowler Payne, any comments?
None.
Commissioner Shiro?
None.
Commissioner Mack?
None at this time.
We're through with the commissioners making their comments. Heard any staff communications at the end of the meeting here tonight?
Certainly, only a couple. Number one, if you happen to visit the California Mid-State Fair this year, there will be a section highlighting the city of Rio Grande. All of the cities and some of the non-incorporated communities were given an opportunity to kind of set up a display case of what their city is. So our deputy city clerk, Jessica Mattson, put together a pretty cool display for us. If you're there, also vote Rio Grande. and additionally, we've put the word out to the community, but again, we're letting folks know that City Hall is closed on Fridays as of the 1st of July. We are inside the building doing work. The city manager has dubbed it Finish It Friday. So it's giving staff an uninterrupted opportunity to really get the public's work done. So just a public announcement that we are closed on Fridays. And that's all I have.
Closed to the public on Fridays.
Closed to the public on Fridays, correct. And that does not, I should say, that does not affect the Five Cities Fire Authority, the police department, the Corporation Yard, or Recreation Services.
Very good. Thank you for that clarification. If there's nothing else to be said, I hereby adjourn this meeting. Thank you very much, everybody.